Hello, you're listening to Laser Graves, a podcast where we dig up movies, music, books, and events from the 80s and discuss how rad they were. To Laser Graves. I am your co-host, E.K. Wimmer, and you are?
I'm your other host.
Don't whisper.
I'm your other host, Mariah Lord of the Dogs, Rose Wimmer.
Oh.
We took that high. Rose Wimmer.
You're going to put Lord of the Dogs between Mariah and Rose?
Yeah. Lord of the Dogs, Mariah Rose Wimmer?
Ooh.
Just call me Lord of the Dogs.
I'm going to go with that. You need a cool, jacket with the collar up with an embroidered. Oh, you have an embroidered jacket. You never wear that thing. It's so cool.
I wore
cool.
it the other day. You're just always at work.
Oh, sorry.
You don't get to see my cool styles.
That was cool that you got. I forgot you got your name embroidered onto a jacket.
Yeah.
Like a bowling jacket
that
style
cool.
thing. It is really, well, it's more like a Grease Lightning jacket.
It's a fine line, though, because if you do it on one thing, it's cool. But if you do it on everything you own, it's super cool.
Then you're just an old man.
Or that, 8-year-old boy at school that runs to all of the classes.
Yeah, that's true.
Actually, you had a roommate in college that ran to all of his classes.
I would not be surprised if his karate suit that he ran in was embroidered. All right. Well, welcome, everyone, to another episode. Hopefully you enjoyed last week's. It was a little different. Mm-hmm. We had mixed feelings about it. I mean, I've had some time to reflect. And
oh, yeah? Did you listen to it?
No. Well, I mean, I had to edit it, but...
You haven't listened to it 8 times?
No, definitely not. But it was funny because I realized, it's easy to take it too seriously. It's an 80s, B movie. But at the same time, it was good. I thought that I'm glad we covered it still. But I was nowhere near as excited to cover that as I am to cover this today.
Yeah.
We decided to do this. This book was on the original list when we first started Laser Graves, before we even recorded
the one
episode.
We chiseled into stone.
Well, this was the first book we came up with, we need to do R.L. Stine. And we've been waiting and waiting. Mm. And we were like, let's not do it too early. Let's wait a little bit. I'll have you know, there's a little celebration. This is our 10th episode.
Cheers.
Yeah. That went by really fast. And that might not seem like much for all the people who've been doing it for a long time, but let me remind you, our episodes are an hour. That's 10 hours of podcasting we have already done.
Wow.
Well, 9, I guess. Well, actually...
We have a few
Yeah, we have a few
starts.
That we scratched and we didn't even release, so...
There was one episode where we were recording in a different... In my studio space and the neighbor's dog was barking the whole time and you, I think, almost lost your mind, actually.
It's because it was supposed to be our first episode and it was on one of my all-time favorite movies, House 2, and we had to scratch it because it just didn't work. So we promise... our listeners, we will definitely revisit and do an episode on House 2, but we're going to give it a little bit of time.
Well, I mean, I fell asleep while watching it, so I need 2 weeks.
I'm not suggesting we do it right now. I'm just saying that it'll definitely show up in our podcast, but it needs to be a little removed because we spent all the goods on that episode and then the dog's just roof, roof, the whole time in the background and I was really pissed.
Yeah, you looked... furious. That's when we started recording in our bedroom closet.
Yeah, a few things that I get worked up about. That was definitely one of them. And I'm like, we're changing locations.
Yep.
And now we're in the Dragon's Lair, which is amazing. It's very secure.
There's actually a full-size dragon mask in our closet.
Right here, yeah.
My brother gave it to you. Was it for birthday or Christmas?
Does it matter?
No, my brother, my middle brother, gives us the craziest presents. He gave you it's like a high quality dragon mask. There's fake hair and...
Yeah, I don't, I would, interrupt and say, I wouldn't say craziest is the right word. I'd say most appropriate gifts. Like, he gives us gifts that, like, fit. And
he gave us the Eisenhower plate. Like,
it was the plate commemorative plate.
With Eisenhower and whatever his wife's name is.
Yeah.
Painted on them. What happened to that?
I don't know. And we also, he gave me a engraved knife that had a scene of a, like, a deer running or something on the mm-hmm. blade, but then it was a ceramic handle of an eagle, a bald eagle.
That's good.
That was pretty cool.
And then he always gives, actually, he and his wife, I don't know how much input she gets, but they also gave our children, like, every terrible gift for a parent to see their child receive, but the coolest gifts for a child to receive. Like, they gave our daughters the, like, a rollout gigantic piano.
Like, big,
like,
style.
Big.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So they could, like, run and jump on it and slide and make it, like, go down the piano keys. Yeah. It was pretty fun.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Okay. Well, so there you go. There's the background on
mm-hmm.
your brother's gifts that he gives us.
Well, it does make me think that we should call this recording space not our closet, but perhaps the Dragon's Lair.
Yeah, well, originally the Dragon's Lair was going to be the studio out in the garage where I record music, but I think that's more appropriate here, especially because mm-hmm. we have this mask looking at us right now.
It is. I feel like it's going to snort fire.
Very large mask.
Okay.
Okay, well, there you go, everyone. There's the conversation you weren't hoping for, but you got. That's the Laser Graves guarantee. let's talk about this week's episode, R.L. Stine. This is the first book we've done of him. It's slim pickings with him because he really came into it in the 90s and
he's
then just
90s.
Cleaned house in the 90s. Mm-hmm. But some people may not know, he really got started in the 80s. There are a few books we can do. We haven't done, like, Blind Date yet or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I also found a long time ago at a thrift store a Choose Your Own Adventure book that he did in the 80s. It's really cool.
Have you read it?
Yeah, I read it when I went to L.A. for, what did I go for? A random...
Oh, it was for the Furries Festival.
Oh, that's what it was. It was the what is it called? Bronies? No.
Yeah, it's Bronies.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's
I don't feel like that's the right word.
My Little Bronies, yeah. Yep, adult fans of My Little Pony.
What, they're called Bronies?
Yep.
Adult fans, not
male
fans. There's
a film called Bronies, : the extremely unexpected adult fans of My Little Pony. And we watched it. We watched part of it, and then it got really boring and creepy.
I guess I just didn't think it was called Bronies. I thought it was a different name.
It's the perfect name.
It is a good name.
Okay.
All right, so
what are we talking about?
We're talking about R.L. Stine. Oh,
Dragon's
that's why.
Lair.
That's right. Okay. So we're...
Naturally,
R.L. Stine and Bronies go to bit together. We're talking about The Babysitter, 1989. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we cannot do the whole series. He's got quite a few in this. He went on to do three or four of them. But we can read them on our own time, but we can't cover them on here because we're limited to one decade. But The Babysitter, 1989, it was a fun read. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, especially after having our last venture into this particular genre was Christopher Pike's first book. And
it was Slumber Party, right.
It was, well, I mean, that was the pee pants, but...
the flare gun pee pants? Yeah, that was great. You guys should listen to that if you haven't.
Yes, the writing on this was a little more cohesive.
Oh, it's great. It's like night and day.
Yeah.
Now,
you can just tell he's experienced.
I have read R.L. Stine, but I have not. Slumber Party is the first and only book I've read by Christopher Pike. You definitely read Christopher Pike. So
oh, yeah.
I'm excited to look into some of his other books because...
Other
like
R.L. Stine or
no,
other Pike.
Christopher Pikes because
okay.
I have heard that they get much better. Like his writing style gets much better.
They definitely do. But you can't do that. We have to do Wait Till Helen Comes first.
Oh, yeah. We'll do that, too. But this one was a welcomed... It was just fun. It's such an easy read. It reads like a Fear Street
right
away.
You can read it in 19 minutes.
He has a pattern and a way of writing a book that has never changed. It doesn't matter if he's doing these standalone novels, if he's doing Fear Street, if he's doing Goosebumps. It's all very clear. I read that he does an outline. That's why he has to work on an outline.
Yeah,
it's pretty clear that he does an outline. But and he writes. I read one time he writes, even now, later on in life, still around 7 books a year he'll pump out. I mean, that's when you think about
it. What does Stephen King do?
Cocaine?
No. I mean, books.
Oh, I don't know. He writes really fast. I know I read up on Stephen King one time, and he writes super fast, too.
I would like to imagine them in a blackened room under a spotlight, back to back, but with typewriters, vintage typewriters in front of them, typing like their fastest, and whoever wins, like writes the first novel, gets a prize.
I like that they kind of live in the same world, though. Do you remember? We listened to that podcast with R.L. Stine doing the interview. I'm getting confused, though. Was it on that or was it on the Scary Stories documentary where he says that story about when he met Stephen King?
I think it was a podcast we listened to.
Okay, so hopefully I'm not screwing anything up. But he says when he met Stephen King, he said, you know, they call me the training bra, like the Stephen King training bra or something like that, because he does horror novels for little kids, for like preteens.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
He's really good at it. Yeah, so let's get into it, because this was a really fun, super easy read. What I love about R.L. Stine and any book he writes is you're into it.
Yeah.
It's a good mix of character development to some degree, but also he'll take breaks to get a little descriptive.
Yeah, he gives some character development.
Get a little in there, and then he'll go back to just the straight-up story.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's a good intro to storytelling for young readers, I would say.
Yeah. Robert Lawrence Stine, by the way. Did you know that was his name?
No.
Yeah.
That's cute. Why does it go by... Well...
I read two different things at different times when I have looked into him. One was he thought that it would be more prestigious sounding to have his initials instead of his full name, which I get, right? Like E.K. Wimmer sounds really cool. And but then I also read that he thought it would be gender neutral, and that people could think it was either a female or a male writer, so it wouldn't alienate the crowd. Like, anybody would be willing to pick it up because they wouldn't know what gender it is.
That's so weird that gender would be a consideration. I don't think that's a 21st century thing, but I could see that happening in the 80s.
Yeah. Did you want to pick up your notes and drop them again?
Yep. Here I go.
Okay. Oh, I have... Gosh, I feel like we've been going on forever. It's only been 12 minutes, but
it's going to be okay.
I have one more thing I wanted to tell you.
What?
This blew my mind, and I've never known this.
What was it?
Do you remember Eureka's Castle?
Eureka's Castle.
That's the thing that people our age, when we faked being sick so we could stay home.
When you pretend sick and all the good stuff's over.
It was this and stupid David the Gnome.
I like David the Gnome.
He
wrote a fox.
Whatever.
He wrote a fox.
Anyway, Eureka's Castle was one of them. And I remember being like, yeah, I got out of it. I'm at home. I'm going to party. I'd put on the TV. It would not be like really cool cartoons. It would be Eureka's Castle and David the Gnome.
Because it was made for like 3-year-olds who were home. But I would always transition from Eureka's Castle into like weird court TV.
Oh, yeah. Like Judge Judy kind of thing.
But it was
People's Court.
Yeah. Who was the... I don't know. Whoever it was.
Anyway, off subject.
No.
Guess who created the characters and wrote all of Eureka's Castle?
Did R.L. Stine do
that? Yes. R.L. Stine.
What?
No, I never knew that.
What?
I just found that out and I was like, what?
What?
Okay.
Why? Anyway. I have so many questions.
Well,
who is Eureka? What's her castle? What was the dragon doing? Why was he so weird? I felt very uncomfortable. I don't remember any other characters.
I don't either. I got really irritated every time it came on. I was like, man.
There was one other one that came on right after that was for even younger kids, and they did the skinnamarinky-dinky-dink, skinnamarinky-doo.
I don't know.
Oh. You don't want to cover Nickelodeon's?
I want to talk about this book. Holy cow. This has gone on forever.
Now,
okay.
More Nickelodeon.
Let's talk about The Babysitter. It opens up right away on a bus with two friends.
Jenny and Laura.
Jenny, like all great preteen horrors, Jenny's the average. She's not outgoing. She's got a wild imagination, though.
Yeah, there's a lot of emphasis on her.
Yes.
Crazy imagination.
And then there's Laura, the, like, cute one, the good-looking one that's crazy and fun, more outgoing. And there's your dynamic right there.
Well,
those are the two friends.
But he sets it up like it's going to be an uneven dynamic, but their friendship's actually pretty rad.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it through the whole book. I liked the way that they kind of bounced off of each other, but... Those are our two main characters, Jenny being our main character,
yeah,
the babysitter.
Laura's not a main character.
Yeah. She's
She's
B-Squad. Anyway, they're on a bus. They're talking about, right away, how Jenny got a job babysitting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she's going to do this weekend. She's about to start it. And I like that. I love that about this book. Like, it's right away
you're right in it.
Like, you instantly are into the characters. There's no, like, build up. And... it's pretty good. There's a lot of little conversation.
We learn, like, Jenny's thinking about Laura and describes her as, like, not caring what other people think. And we learn that Jenny does care what other people think. And she loves to daydream.
Yeah, and Laura is kind of the crazy one. She's really goofy and fun. And, like, she shouts out the door.
She's just an extrovert. That's
it. Yeah. And she shouts out the window as the bus is going by. There's somebody who she thinks looks like Bob Saget. And she shouts Bob Saget at him.
Why would you not do that?
Okay, but then what I love is the follow-up when she's like, but Bob Saget's a creep. And I thought this whole scene was hilarious because I kept in mind, this is R.L. Stine writing this. She says he's a creep because he thinks he's so cool because he's tall.
Yes.
Yeah. I know that type who think they're so cool because they're tall.
Are you just staring right at me?
Because I'm a short person and I'm not cool.
Tall people are cool.
Yeah.
There's like a sweet spot with tall, but okay.
Yeah. So you're like Bob Saget.
I'm in the sweet spot.
I'm like Dave Coulier. Yeah. Cut it out.
I used that on somebody. And they didn't get it. It was really embarrassing.
Yes.
I was a hairdresser, and I said, cut it out. And they just blank
stared at me. Oh, that's so appropriate. Sucks to be them.
It. Oh, well.
Okay, so anyway, she yells at this guy, Bob Saget. And then, flash forward, they get off the bus, they're at school, and we meet Chuck. Woof.
Well, no, because we had the whole, her first babysitting
experience. No, that hasn't come yet.
Oh, because she had a... Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We meet Chuck first. He's a goof, quote
yeah.
Goof.
She's not on board because he's a goof.
Also, have you noticed this like consistency in R.L. Stine's books of like the goofy prankster guys who do dumb things?
I don't think I've read enough R.L.
Oh,
Stine.
They come up a lot. I was like, oh, here we go. Here's the other one.
Well, I was just like, you're clearly an introvert, Jenny. You need a little bit of a goof to mix it up for you. So get over it. Because she like describes what he's like and he sounds rad and like he should be your friend.
Yeah, because you know what he does? He plays hilarious pranks like pretending to be deaf.
Okay, well, this was the 1980s. Maybe he wasn't as sensitive as he should be. Also, he was a teenage boy, so that's, like, pretty tame for
that's true.
A teenage boy.
It could have been worse.
So we find out
later at the very end of the book that he does have a worse side. But anyway, that's Chuck. I'll leave that for you to ponder.
Okay.
We get a backstory on Jenny...
Getting the babysitting job.
Mm-hmm. She hasn't even started it yet. And we find out that... she found this boy wandering in the mall. He was all alone. Mm-hmm. She comforts him.
He was precocious and adorable.
Oh, and he had the nicest hair that she had to keep running her fingers through and caress.
I didn't quite understand all the talk about this kid's hair, but...
I was so disturbed.
Yeah.
I imagined it to be like Danny on The Shining, like that straight bowl cut.
Oh, I pictured it really curly and gold.
Oh,
I don't know if they described it.
It really disturbed me because I am somebody who would never in a million years touch somebody else's kid's hair.
Would and have.
Okay. I feel like we're just setting this up. This is like a greater analogy of us. Okay.
You're Jenny and I'm Chuck.
Maybe, but Jenny's obsessed with hair. like touching other people's kids' hair.
But okay.
Okay. Anyway, yeah.
So she, his parents are the Hagans, Mr. and Mrs. Hagan.
They lost their kid.
Yep. For whatever reason.
And then they're like, you're great with him. Do you want to babysit? Because it's the 80s. And that's how we discover babysitters.
That's how we've gotten every babysitter, is losing our kids like bait. And whatever teenager finds them, we offer them jobs.
All right. So she, that's how she got the babysitting gig. And then we get to the first night.
Yeah.
And it jumps right in. I liked this. I was like, yeah.
Hop on board. Time to babysit.
She's at the Hagans. She goes there. There's some talk about what it's like. It's like this rundown kind of Victorian home. It's
it's, they just moved into this house. And so they're like apologetic. Like, don't worry. We're going to make some updates.
Yeah, we're going to renovate it. And the dad's super nervous. He just started a new job. He's relocated. Mm-hmm. He's really nervous about the boy being by himself.
He's just got anxiety.
Yeah, it's extreme anxiety.
He'd probably like... you know, seen some news and was worried about everything that could happen to his kid.
Yes. The mom so this is her introduction. She's like making short conversation and says, you know, I was a linguistics major. Did you catch this? Jenny passes such a hard judgment on that.
Oh, yeah, she
does.
She
says, quote, really? Was that the best she could do? And I was like, damn, Jenny.
Solid teen move.
Solid teen thinking, yeah. Yep.
So, Mr. Hagan's a nervous Nelly, and Mrs. Hagan's pretty cool, pretty calm.
Yeah, she just wants to get out
She's
of that
ready
house.
To,
she is like, ready to go party. I definitely know the feeling.
Yeah, so they leave.
Well, no, not before he decides to drop some knowledge on, hey, have you been watching the news? There is a guy going around in a ski mask.
Yeah.
Beating up babysitters. There's the premise of our book right there. Also, he decides to tell the babysitter before he goes out this story.
Mm-hmm. Also, I mean, she should probably be aware of that. It doesn't sound like it's that large of a town. And who are her parents? We don't know yet. To say, yeah, there are people attacking babysitters. Don't worry. Go babysit.
Yes. It's definitely... Although, when
in
I read
the
this...
80s, perhaps.
Yeah, so we can write everything off as the 80s. I also got the thought, though, of like, how would you know there's a babysitter in the house? I guess that was my only problem right away was, you know, babysitters be fearful because there's somebody beating up babysitters. But every single house on our block could, in theory, have a babysitter or not have a babysitter. How would you know?
Well... I don't know.
Exactly. It's okay. Unless they did like a status update in the 2000s and they're like on Instagram saying that they're babysitting.
Like hashtag babysitting, hashtag my town.
Hashtag don't beat me up. Yeah. And so they leave. They're like, let's get the hell out of here because we want to go party.
Mrs. Hagan is.
Yeah, Miss Hagan is all about it.
Mr. Hagan's dragging his feet, but he goes.
Yep. And then we meet Donnie, the kid. That's who she's babysitting.
He's watching Ghostbusters.
Who she's, like, thoroughly, through the whole book, so charmed by. I found nothing in this kid that I liked. He was just an asshole. Like,
oh,
the whole...
Oh, no.
Whole, are you kidding?
He was funny.
He was not funny. He was a little prick. He was a jerk.
Wow. He was a little child. What is wrong with you?
No. Right
You're
away.
A monster.
Right away, she's caressing his hair, by the way, again. He demands milk. He demands to be tucked in. He demands stories. She's like, no stories. He's like, no, you will tell me a story. I'm not going to bed. He's
that
super
is
controlling.
Every kid everywhere.
No. He's got problems. Oh, he's like, well, I want a story. And then, you know what else he gets? A kiss on top of it. This is the first night of babysitting. She's caressed his hair, given
him
some
milk. How many kids have you babysat that aren't your nephews? Zero.
Zero.
Okay.
Why would I ever kiss somebody's kid?
I have kissed so many people's children. I was a babysitter, and sometimes little kids want that weird stuff that their parents do.
Why would you kiss somebody's kid?
Because your heart is filled with love.
No, that's so disturbing.
In a non-creepy way.
No, it's not even about being creepy. It's just about they're gross. It's somebody else's kid.
They're just little tiny people. They're so innocent and pure, and they've got great hair.
And they're demanding milk, and they're demanding stories.
Yeah, and you like our kids. They do that.
Anyway, she puts him down and then...
Not as in, like, puts him down. She just puts him to bed.
Well, to be determined. And then there's a knock on the door.
Mm-hmm. Well, she also reads newspaper articles about the babysitter attacks. This cat, like, scares her. So she's, like, gotten herself all worked up
and creeped
out. All her
imagination. Yeah, has gotten the best of her.
Although, as a former babysitter, I can tell you that happens real fast. Once the kids are asleep and the parents are gone and they're like, we'll be back at, like, 2 a.m. and you're like,
You know what?
I did that.
You know what I like about having a podcast with somebody I know really well?
What?
You're not mentioning that you weren't just a babysitter, that you started your own and you were like the president CEO of your own babysitters club. So I'm just going to, we don't have to go into it, but I'm just going to put that out there for people to fill in the blanks.
No, I've got like 3 sentences to say on this. First of all, I spent a lot of money on office supplies.
You did or your mom did?
No, me.
Okay.
I had an allowance, I think.
Oh, your babysitting money.
Oh, I did have
money. Or you reinvested in your own business.
Well, I babysat a kid, not through the company, but I did. That's where my money came from.
The company was an LLC, like.
Uh-huh. And then I recruited my friends. We had a company. We made posters with money that I provided and office supplies that I provided. I bought a lot of paper clips. And I don't know what for.
How soon was this after reading The Babysitter's Club?
Like day one. I don't think I even finished the book. But I had signs up.
Page one, you set it down and you're like, I have a brilliant idea.
So I made signs and I only ever had one client that wasn't somebody that I already babysat for. And they were in a hotel called the Argonaut, which incidentally also had a restaurant and their pizza sauce was ketchup, which I loved. But it was a family staying in a hotel, and they asked me to watch their one daughter named Tawny.
This was definitely the 80s.
And I said...
No, this would have been early 90s, Tawny.
Probably, I don't know. But I told my mom, I said, I love the name Tawny because I'd never heard it. And my mom goes, that's a stripper's name. I don't even know if I knew what a stripper was.
Yet somehow... I can totally see it.
And that's why we named our children Tawny and...
Tawny Jr.
Tawny 2.
Tawny 2. Tawny Part 2.
Tawnier.
Tawnier. Tawny and Tawnier.
We gotta name something that...
We should name our next pet Tawny.
And get another one. Tawnier.
Yes. So there's a knock on the door. There's a knock on the door. And Bushy Eyes McGee, Eugene Levy is what I thought, answers the door.
Willers.
Willers, but he's got really bushy eyebrows.
Yeah, okay, so right off, she's freaking out and somebody knocks on the door and she can't see through a peephole or a window. She's read the babysitter attacks and she's like, I'm still going to open this.
Yeah, there is an active serial, like,
beater-upper.
Yeah, assaulter. Okay. Is that a word? Assaulter? Yeah,
maybe.
Brony. And and she just opens the door and there's this guy in there and he's really being pushy about, I need to come in.
He wants to take a peek around.
Yeah. And she's like, no, get out of here. And that's her first night of babysitting.
Mm-hmm.
What a great night. I thought something more was going to happen. And then I did like in the book that it just goes to the next day. Like,
no. And actually, as Willers is there, she closes the door and she feels like a hand on her back and it's just Donnie the kid.
Yeah. Duh, because we'll talk about this later.
Oh, whatever.
The old gotcha moments of R.L. Stein on the end of every chapter.
So the next scene is Laura and Jenny having pizza at a pizza place being soups 80s.
So 80s. Laura's super boy crazy. They're having like a teenage conversation. Mm-hmm. And then they get, but we do find out that she's making $5 an hour babysitting.
That's like bank in the 80s?
In the 80s. But then what I thought was, like, kids nowadays demand that for, like, a tooth from, like, the tooth fairy. They're like, a dollar.
Well, inflation.
Yeah. Okay, whatever. They didn't have to work for it. They just lost a stupid tooth. But so she's making $5 an hour.
Hey, you make a good point, though, because I actually pulled out several of our daughters.
Yeah, you should demand that our daughter gives back a
reimbursement.
Percentage.
Okay.
Like, there's definitely a percentage owed.
Okay. I find it kind of satisfying to pull her teeth, so I don't mind.
Oh, man. Then we see good old Chuck, the old prankster. Guess what the prank is today? He's been hiding under the table and pops up and jokes about peeking up their skirts.
So, first of all, how would you not notice somebody under your table?
Yeah, especially Chuck.
If he's tall. Is he tall?
I don't know.
I feel like he's tall.
But boy, is he a prankster.
He's hilarious.
He loves looking up women's skirts, and they love being charmed by it. And so, yep, that's what we get. We get Chuck.
He also makes a weird joke about putting pizza crusts in his pocket.
Yeah, he puts... Well, I thought it was a slice of pizza at first. And I was like,
that makes rad if he'd folded up a piece of pizza and put it in his pocket.
Yeah, he puts the crust in his pocket and then pulls it out later like a cigar to eat it.
I don't know.
Okay, I don't know what that was all about.
Whatever.
Character building, I guess.
Okay.
Jenny, by the way, backstory, Jenny's been going on about how she like really needs a guy in her life, but she can't get a guy. And here's Chuck like really into her. And she's like, well, I like Chuck, but he's also really annoying.
He's such a goof.
Yeah. And
he's
so she's
goober.
Already setting up this this reoccurring theme that drove me crazy through the whole book of her being conflicted about Chuck because
she likes him.
But she's also creeped out by him, especially when at the pizza place, he starts saying, let me swing by and hang out with you, mm-hmm. you know, on Saturday when you're babysitting. And she's like, absolutely not. And he's getting really, really pushy. And she just finally gets furious and leaves.
Mm-hmm.
But then is like, oh, but he's kind of cute.
Well, she's a rule follower and he's a wild card. And he's also the new guy. So she can't read him. She doesn't know where he's coming from. So then we go... Now back to the next babysitting gig.
Yeah, Saturday night.
And she's also late for the second time. I don't know why that's important to the story.
Yeah, it's not.
We learn, but he keeps mentioning it. So R.L. Stine does. Then we learn about how Mr. Hagen's nervous. New house, new job. They leave. She plays hide and seek with Donnie, but she doesn't want to.
Yeah, why does she play hide and seek? Because Donnie's a jerk and is demanding it. He's throwing a little fit.
That's what kids do. That's their
boundaries and limitations.
That's their only thing they can control.
No, he is demanding hide and seek. After that, you know what else he demands in this whole scene? He demands a bowl of cereal, 3 glasses of apple juice. I'm like, this chick has never babysat in her life because you do not give your kid
you do.
3 glasses of apple juice before
bed. It's like
a
party. It's you go in, you look into the eyes of the kid you're going to babysit, and you're like, we're not going to speak of this to your parents.
Yeah, and then he gets up and he pees his pants because you gave him 3 glasses of apple juice.
That's how you get to have your boyfriend over later in this book. But he gets all he wants. She gets what she wants. Everything's fine. It's like a... unspoken contract between babysitter and babysittee.
Okay. Well, I guess you're coming from real experience.
For sure.
And I am coming from like a level head of this kid needs to like be put in his place.
No, because babysitters are kids too. So you just look at them and you're like, I'm an older kid. And this is what we agree. You pass that like electricity between the two of you and you move forward.
Okay.
And then you get paid at the end.
$5.
Okay.
Okay. So the phone rings. This is our first instance where the phone rings. She picks it up and there's heavy breathing. Nobody talks on the other end.
She like has a moment of panic, but then she thinks like, who could it be?
Oh, who would it be? Little jerk face upstairs.
Hey. Quit harshing his mellow.
Well, what does she find when she busts into the door?
It wasn't him.
He's like a little Village of the Damned with his straight blonde hair and his demon eyes. And he's
curly.
Crouching in the corner on the phone.
Like a little cherub. He's just standing next to the phone listening.
Why does he have a phone in his room?
I don't know. That's some bad parenting. But they...
She screams at him.
She loses her beans, for sure. And then we learn in the next chapter that Donnie wasn't the one making the call. And she, like, puts him back to bed and hangs up the phone because I guess she left it off the receiver downstairs.
Yeah, we find out... Let's just take a moment because this is every chapter of every book ever written by R.L. Stine.
Every chapter
everything
ends with, like,
has to have a cliffhanger. It's like Jimmy was driving down the street and he... felt something, a presence next to him, and he looked over and there was a form moving. Mm-hmm. No, what could it be? And then you flip the page and it's like, it was a cute little bunny jumping into the bush.
Yes.
Or like whatever. Sandy got too close to the edge, and before she knew what happened, she slipped, she lost her balance, and she fell over the side of the building. And then you flip the page, and it's like, onto a fluffy couch. But that's R.L. Yes. Stine's, like, M.O.
It's delightful, because it keeps you turning the pages. He knows what he's doing. And, I mean, his audience is, like, 12. That's perfect.
His audience is, like, in their late 30s.
Okay.
And they're podcasting.
So she hangs up the phone, and the phone immediately rings again.
Ooh, this was my favorite part of the whole book.
Was it?
Yeah.
And so it rings again and again, and she's just letting it ring because she's creeped out. And then she realizes it's going to wake up Donnie, who's apparently fallen back to sleep instantaneously.
Oh, that's throughout the whole book. He falls real
right,
quick.
Right away. Anyway, so she answers it, and she hears somebody say, "Hi, babes. Are you all alone in that big house? Well, don't worry. Company's coming."
Yeah, company's coming. That's pretty cool.
Dude, if I
were... I loved this. This was creepy.
If I had been babysitting and I got that call, I would grab the child, call every emergency number I knew, and then just burn the house to the ground.
Yeah, but genius here decides she should not call the cops.
Yeah,
that's her solution is, I'll just go caress Donnie's hair instead and not call the cops.
Yeah.
So she decides not to.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, whatever. It's all in my brain. It's all in my mind, like she does with everything. And then she's walking into the living room and she finds a photograph and she discovers Donnie had a sister. And this is a development in the plot.
Yeah, that's important.
And she also notices that there is a man in a car parked out front of the house during this scene.
Mm-hmm.
So that's her night of babysitting. It's real fun. You can see why she'd want to keep doing
Although, again, bringing it back to my babysitter roots, I can tell you, like, every single nighttime babysitting, I was pretty sure I was going to be murdered.
Yeah.
Because it's like a young girl alone in her house.
Absolutely. Very vulnerable.
Yeah. So you just, I could see where she would, or where that's kind of believable. Because I would be like, what's that? And I would see, like, what I thought is, like, a headless corpse in the corner. Nope.
Okay,
just,
so...
You know,
yeah, but I'm going to paint a picture shadow for you as a former babysitter.
Uh-huh.
What if when you went over to babysit, the parents were sketchy? There are talks about how there is currently actively not apprehended a man breaking into houses and beating up babysitters.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a phone call where somebody says, "Are you all alone?" Would you just be like, "Cool, I'm definitely not going to call the cops"?
I probably call my parents at that point, yeah.
Okay, you call somebody. She calls, she doesn't call anybody.
She lets it slide.
Anyway, she finds out Donnie has a sister, car's out front, and then we go to the next morning.
Yeah.
Just cuts right through, which I liked again, because I was like, okay, here we go.
Cut away.
And then, nope, it's like this long, drawn-out process of him toying with her, whoever's on the other end.
Well, no, because she goes home. We learn that her mom is involved. Like, she has a mother, and her mother's, like, following up with her. And her mother reveals that Chuck called to talk to her, and she gave Chuck the phone number.
And the address, because he lied. He was like, no, she said that she wants me to come over.
Yeah, so...
I need the address and the phone number.
This is a seed of doubt in Chuck that we see planted. And she begins to wonder, is he the one who prank called her?
Yeah, she's freaked out, but she's also like, but he's so sweet.
Yeah, so then she's like, okay, I'm going to go to the mall with Laura. And they're just hanging out in Chuck's at the mall because it's the 80s and everybody who's anybody goes to the mall.
Yeah, I want to back up real quick, unless you're like in a hurry to get there.
Oh, no. Let's take this to 2 hours.
It bothers me that this has gone on, like her questioning whether she should be doing this or not. Like, I shouldn't be babysitting. I'm creeped out.
Mm-hmm.
The mom's got all this pressure about, like, we need the extra money.
Yeah.
Her mom's a legal secretary. Like, that's good money. That's fine money for a mom and a daughter.
Maybe.
Does she really need to be babysitting for $5 an hour when somebody is actively threatening her?
What if her mom had gone to school and gotten a PhD and decided that wasn't her calling and she needed to do legal work, but she still had to pay off her degree?
Maybe. I feel like a legal secretary makes more than I make. So I would not force my 9-year-old to go out and like babysit to pay for a Christmas present.
I don't
presents.
Have any clue what a legal secretary makes.
Whatever.
Maybe
doesn't
they
matter.
Make $9 an hour.
So they go to the mall.
In the 80s.
We'll skip forward. They go to the mall. Oh, they do have press-on nails. Laura does a fun bit about how these are instant cool if you put on press-on nails. Do you remember
it's
that?
Still true.
Yes.
Holds fast.
And then Jenny, because Jenny is so cool and has the greatest personality, decides she wants to go to Sock City because she likes to look at socks. And I'm like, Jenny's single? This is... nuts. This is news to me. How is she single?
No, that's exactly what teenage girls
she wants to go to Sock City, but guess who else loves to shop at Sock City?
I would love to shop at Sock City.
Chuck, who is clearly stalking her, and she's like, oh my gosh, this guy is stalking me, but man, he's kind of funny because he puts socks on his hands and makes little jokes because he's Chuck the Jokester.
He's a teenage boy. And he's looking for some socks, and he's being a goof.
Who lied to your mother to get your address and your phone number.
Teenage boys lie to parents.
Okay. Wow. You're like Jenny. You're just letting him string you along.
No.
Okay. Well, you know what you would do, though, if the guy did lie, somebody prank called you with a threat. And then you found him stalking you in the mall.
Go to the movies with him. That would be my first guess.
Okay. They go to the movies, but then we're back.
Well, Laura ditches out. She's like, you two have fun. And they do.
They have a great time. Then we're back to babysitting.
Babysitting, Walkman listening, thinking about Chuck.
Yeah. And she also doesn't understand the concept of not getting kids excited before bed.
I don't understand that concept.
She's like, gets Donnie all riled up and is like, now go to bed. I'm like, have you never been around a child?
That's exactly what I do, and it's exactly how I was raised.
It's when it's my night to put him to sleep. You get him all crazy, and then you're like, all right, time to go to bed.
Bye.
So she also, there is a quick comment we have to mention where she's leaving his room. Mm-hmm. And she's like, man, he's going to be like a lady killer stud in a few years.
Mm-hmm.
Is that weird?
Nah, I don't think so.
When you're babysitting a boy and you're like, man, is he going to be a knockout?
No, I think that's not that weird because I feel like people go, oh, that person, and you comment on their looks, like that child's going to be so handsome or so beautiful. So, I mean...
Okay, so if a man, a 17-year-old boy, is watching a 6-year-old girl...
You should not let that happen in the first place.
...puts her to sleep, and then as he's leaving, has a thought that says, boy, she's going to be a hottie when she grows up.
So here's what I have to say to that. Never let a teenage boy watch your young children.
Okay, I'm just going to flip that and say... In my mind, it's just as creepy for a teenage girl to be leaving and being like, boy, he's going to be hot when he grows up.
She didn't say those words. Anyway,
Okay, well, agree to disagree.
So she's thinking about Chuck, and then she gets another call. But this time, she actually calls the police.
Yeah, she does.
Way to go. She gets the number of a detective, because they're like, well, we can't really do anything. There's nobody around. But we'll give you the number of Detective Ferris. And if anything happens, call and he'll be right there.
Yeah. Well, she gets a call. The call that night says, hi, babes. The fun's about to start.
Yeah.
And it's pretty creepy.
Uh-huh.
There's also a little backup. I guess her and Chuck have now become study buddies. But it says even though he makes around the mother, he made crude jokes with bananas.
I missed that.
I didn't. the police are hilarious. And this scene made me laugh out loud because I'm reading this teenage, this preteen thriller on the bus or on the train, like hiding it. Because she calls the cops and she's like, this guy's threatening me. There's somebody in the neighborhood beating up people. And the cop's like, and what's the deal? Like, we have nothing to go off of.
Well, I mean... To be fair, the cops are like, every teenage girl in town is calling me every time they babysit because they're scared.
Maybe. But he's really dismissive.
Yeah. I mean, maybe send somebody by to peek in on her.
Yeah.
Oh, but are they already?
Yeah. Then there's another knock on the door, and we get good old Prankster Chuck.
Oh, yeah.
He's wearing...
And again, she opens the door.
He's wearing a mask. He's wearing a monster mask.
Well, she can't see that, but she, like, has had two scary calls, scared enough to call the police, and she's still opening the door? I mean, come on. You kind of deserve to be attacked.
He's wearing a mask, which made me think of the cover... instantly, which is funny. It's like ingrained in my mind for Alice Stein. It's like the universe of the haunted mask, Goosebumps. I just imagine that kid popping up. So, yeah. And it's Chuck. And he's really weird and aggressive. She's like, you can't be here. You need to go. Mm-hmm. And he's like being really goofy and awkward. But then he puts his foot in the way of the door when she tries to close it. Yeah. And he's like pushing his way in, basically. And you know what Jenny should do in this case? She should invite him in.
Yeah.
And that's what she does.
Yep. So she's scared of him. My notes say she's scared of him, but also not, because they kiss.
Before they kiss, there's something else I have to discuss.
Okay.
You seem annoyed with me.
No, you're misreading me.
Because I know you're like, want to get to the good part. But another scene that creeped me out. In addition to like...
Was it how Donnie was sleeping?
No. It's who put Donnie to freaking sleep.
Who?
It's Chuck.
Oh.
So he's already stalked her. He's lied about getting the address and everything. He shows up in a mask, pranking her, forces his way in. And then she's like, you put him to sleep.
Well, you woke him up. You put him to sleep. And he does a good job.
This is a strange teenage boy you don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you go up and put him into the bed. Mm-hmm. I was so freaked out by this. I'm like, who in their right mind would invite somebody in who they don't even actually know and be like, go put this little boy to sleep, by the way. I'm going to go study or whatever.
I mean, we're looking at it with adult eyes. I don't know what a teenager would do. But with how Donnie's sleeping, it was actually prior to the door opening. She went and peeked on him. He was sleeping with his eyes open.
Was he? Oh,
yes.
I missed that.
Why was that written in?
I don't
and she
know.
Was like, it's because weird how kids
Donnie's
can do
psychopath.
That.
This is a lead up.
Donnie is a delight.
I'm going to say something and we'll see what happens. What if Donnie in the sequels is the killer?
It's going to be Chuck. Jenny.
No, it's going to be Donnie because Donnie's a psychopath.
It's
going to
be you.
He's going to be like,
Jenny's mom.
Mommy, give me milk. Play hide and seek with me. Oof. Caress my hair.
Stop.
Yeah.
That's
Donnie's
too
not
much.
So cute
I'm going to have nightmares. Okay.
And Chuck knows Donnie's name, too. Did you catch that? And he's like, how do you know my name? And we never get any resolution on that.
Well, I could see Mrs. Jeffers saying that, so whatever.
Then they start kissing. They make out. He admits to calling. This is a
break
in the story.
He says he made the call.
I made the call. That's the cliffhanger.
But it's a singular. I made the call.
And then there's a noise outside. She goes out there, and it's Mr. Wheeler's creeping around in the dark.
Yeah, why did she go out to investigate a crash?
Why not? She's a badass.
I think she's kind of a dum-dum, because the police told her, if something happens, call us, and we'll go check it out.
Yeah, but I kind of like this, where she stepped it up, and she's like, whatever, I'm going out there.
I like that she didn't send her boyfriend to do it.
Yeah. Boyfriend already. Boy, that happened fast.
I mean, they're smooching, and he's visiting her while she's working.
Well, he forced himself on her, but anyway.
He didn't force her to a smooch. It was a mutual smooching.
Well, when she comes back from seeing the creepy neighbor who gives a really lame excuse of why he's out there.
Yeah, it was Willers out in the garage.
Like looking
or
for
out
a prowl or something. Chuck says, look, I made the call, but I hung up. I was so nervous. I just breathed and I hung up. And she's like, I believe you, and runs into his arms after he just admitted that he had been calling her. And so it just gets more and more complicated with those two. It's very much a teenage drama.
They make out. They start making out after this. And then they hear the Higgins return. So Chuck has to bolt out the front door. It's like very quick. So he leaves. But then the Higgins find the mask. And she tries to kind of play it off. She's like, oh, yeah, I just thought it was funny. And then Mr. Hagen drives her home. But he's clearly suspicious because he's like, you're not allowed to have visitors.
Yeah.
And they hadn't expressly told this to her before.
Right, but he's really creepy about it. And then we flash to the next day. Mm-hmm. She finds a backpack or a note in her backpack.
Yeah, like after PE at school.
Yeah, it's like a threatening. And she's like, you know who it is? Chuck.
Because that's the only person who
but
could possibly
so
have access to her backpack.
So then we flash to Saturday night. It's the next night. Mr. Willers is chasing her at the beginning of this chapter.
Yeah, after she gets off the bus and
he's just,
Willers
like, chasing after
chases her and she runs.
She slams the door. Mr. Hagen reveals that they don't have a neighbor. And I was like, dun, dun, dun. But I immediately was like, and? Like, I didn't buy this at all. This whole, like, red herring didn't work for me.
Well, I mean, we have a couple.
Yeah.
We've got Chuck. We've got Mr. Willers. And then the Hagens are like, so a stranger that we don't have living near us chased you to the door.
Yes.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, I wrote that exact same thing in my notes. I said, Jenny said she was being followed by a man claiming to be a neighbor, which is not the person. Mm. They don't have a neighbor. And the mom is like at the beginning, she's like, well, cool, we're out. And just
can
leaves.
You, if your babysitter, like, imagine we had a teenage babysitter come up. They're going to watch our children while we go on a date. And they're like, somebody was chasing me.
He said he's your neighbor. And we're like, we don't have a neighbor.
We live in the middle of nowhere.
Anyway, we'll be back in 3 hours.
I would be like,
make sure he gets milk and cereal and hide and seek and a story and you caress his hair.
Yeah. Wait, what?
I was just going on about Donnie's demands.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Oh, and then I have a point number two in this whole scene. In addition to being chased and being mm-hmm. like, well, whatever, bye. they are also like, and we got him a movie to help him relax. Did you catch that?
What was the movie?
6-year-old Poltergeist.
Oh, yeah. Durr.
Yeah. So they're going to watch that.
Let your 6-year-old watch Poltergeist.
Yeah.
So the Hagen
it's
leave.
Like my childhood.
She's, oh, I know. Poor baby AK Bammer. So there, she's sitting around. She's got herself fully freaked out, as usual. And she hears, like, thundering loud footsteps running down the hall, which, like, that's terrifying. Can you even imagine that? I'd be like, grab my knives!
Knives? Oh, I like how you pluralized it at the last second.
Yeah, it was a last second choice, but...
Really cool. You're like machete.
Like, I'm just going to start flinging them.
Yeah.
Because I'm good. I'm good with knives. But it's Mr. Hagen.
It is. He's in a full-on panic. I'm like, this dude needs
he's having an anxiety attack.
He's a chill pill.
He's worried. And then he goes just like, and then runs up to Donnie's room.
And could you not see this coming a mile away? The end of the chapter cliffhanger.
No.
Donnie is not in there. He's missing.
He's gone.
Just kidding. Sake.
And then Mr. Hagen freaks and screams. They're like running around the house, only discover Donnie was hiding.
He was playing hide and seek by himself because he thought it was hilarious because Donnie's such a sweet little boy.
He's an only child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Jenny goes home. Chuck calls. She's conflicted. Uh-huh. Shocker.
Oh, but while she's on her ride home, Mr. Hagen cries.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the adult driving you home from your just babysitting job crying? I'd be like...
After like sweating and panicking and running up and down. Oh, and by the way, Miss Hagen comes in later and she's like, why'd you leave the party, man?
Yeah.
I'd hang out with Miss Hagen, linguistics major. She seems cool.
Yeah. So then, as you mentioned,
what?
Chuck calls and he wants to come to the next babysitting gig.
Yeah. And she's like, cool. Is he the one? Is he not the one? And I'm like, man, dude, you're a mess.
But she's a teenager. They're all messes.
Yeah.
So then the next babysitting gig, Chuck, Laura, and her boyfriend, of the day,
Eugene.
Boyfriend du jour, Eugene, come.
Oh, and there it's like full-on middle school makeout.
Makeout party.
Oh, you know, they're playing like Boys to Men or something. Oh, wait. No, wait. We got to back it up a little.
Bone Thugs and Harmony.
No, we're in the 80s. So let's set it. 89. Ooh, 89. Who would be playing at a makeout party in 89?
I think we're alone
Mariah
now.
Carey.
No, I think we're alone now.
Tiffany.
Like 80s Tiffany version.
Tiffany, Debbie Gibson, Mariah Carey.
I think we're alone now. It's on repeat. It's the single. They keep flipping the tape over and over.
You know that's on during the makeout party. Eugene and Laura go split to go make out.
Yeah.
And then Chuck and Jenny have like a full-on makeout session to the point of like passing out.
Well, like, they're just like in a makeout fog.
Like pass out from making out so hard.
I don't think they pass out, but they're just like into
it. No, because she wakes up. She comes to.
Well, I think she comes to from the makeout stupor.
Oh, she's like in a...
tongues in each other's mouth, and then she looks up, and there's Mr. Hagen staring silently, not happy. Which, gross, Mr. Hagen, calm it down.
Yeah, take it down a notch. So anyway, they're like, we'll give her a ride home, and he's like, no. Miss Hagen's like, no, we're going to sit around and have a talk with her, which she never has a talk with her. Did you notice that?
Yeah, she... like pawns it off on Mr. Hagen, although I'd kind of, if I had my babysitter, like not paying attention to my children, the person I'm paying to care for my children, and I come home and she's invited strangers into my home and they're all Frenching, I'd be like, let's talk about this for a sec.
I would be like, you hired a teenager.
I'd be kind about it,
but
I'd be like,
at least they're not drunk.
I'd be like, teenager.
Yeah.
And I'd also smell their breath because they were probably pretty hammered.
Oh, that wouldn't be creepy.
Ugh, teenager. And I'd use the scientific method.
Scientific whipping. Yeah.
Okay. So let's
get to it because this is the final push.
Yeah. So the Hagens are both pretty peeved and she goes up to grab her coat.
To leave.
Yeah. Because usually Mr. Hagen grabs her coat for her, but she's just like, I'll just get it. She goes upstairs and stumbles upon all of these articles about the babysitter attacker.
Yeah, all these clippings. And then she's like, I can't get a ride from him. And he's like, no, you are going to get a ride from me. And then, boy, it picks up pretty quick.
Yeah.
They're riding home.
He drives her home. Mrs. Hagen's like, bye. Don't give her too much of a lecture.
Yeah.
And he, like, gets her in the car, flips down the locks, and then drives 85 miles an hour.
Yeah, and he's driving towards a quarry, and then just starts slapping her.
He whispers, company's coming, and then he slaps her.
Yeah, that's the reveal, he's the babysitter beater. And he starts slapping her, and then he's gonna take her to a quarry to, like, dispose of her body?
Well, first he gives, like, the backstory, like, why he is this way. And he says he had a daughter, and the babysitter, like, was distracted or wasn't present enough to save his daughter's life, and his daughter died. So now he's clearly got an issue with babysitters, and he's been beating them, and now he's gonna deal with her because she was making out when she was supposed to be watching Donnie.
And I'd like to think that he puts in the cassette single of I Think We're Alone Now as he's doing this, and it turns into like a Blue Velvet scene.
Yes.
And
okay.
He's like,
so we go to a quarry.
He goes to the quarry. We can wrap this up because it happens lightning speed.
Yeah.
He goes to push her off. There's a cliffhanger about, oh, she's going to fall over the cliff, but she doesn't.
And then another person comes
up. Yeah, and it's Willers is there.
What?
With a
Willers?
Gun. And Hagen falls. I think he shoots him.
Hagen tries to push Jenny over the edge, but she does a quick dodge and dart. And he, like, just all that momentum, he kills himself by flipping off the edge.
There's a really gross graphic description, too, of the body hitting the ground and what it sounds like. I was like, yikes. I definitely, I could visualize it. And so he's dead. Hagen dies. He was the killer, or the whatever, the
babysitter beater.
Yeah. And find out that Willers, who's been creeping around...
He's Detective Ferris.
He's the detective. I'm like, why couldn't you have just said, hey, I'm a detective. I'm going to keep an eye on the house.
I see you're babysitting.
Instead, it's going to be like, hey, I'm going to lie about everything and creep you out.
Hang out in the backyard.
Yeah. Whatever.
And like, also, there was a lot of howling in the woods. But anyway. So Willers slash Ferris is a cop who's been apparently had Mr. Hagen on his radar.
Yeah, he's been staking him out.
Which, I mean, fair enough. If it's a small town and only one person has had a child die to a babysitter and then suddenly there's babysitter beatings, I'd probably be watching Mr. Hagen too.
Yeah, but she's pissed. She's like, wait, so I was the bait? And he was like, totally cool. He was like, yeah, mm-hmm. duh.
1989, yes.
Yeah, you're the bait. And then he's like, I'll take you home to mom because clearly she doesn't need to go to the station.
She doesn't need to be questioned.
Do not need to clean up the body that's been smashed on the ground. Let's
drive
just leave
home.
That there. Let's go home.
Take her home.
She goes home, and then we get to the end of the book where she explains everything, and then of course, Chuck has to have the last laugh.
Yes.
Where did you write down the final joke? It made me cringe. Where she's telling her mom, like she says, you know, there's so and so wants a babysitting thing, which is really inappropriate for her mom to say, but. She's like, I think I'm done babysitting. And then yes. Chuck says, no, she's babysitting me now.
And then he says, I pooped my diaper.
And then he says, baby, want a baba? And then, that's how he closes the damn book is she's babysitting me now.
Also, she's decided to not daydream anymore
because
real life is interesting enough.
That's the book. Let's take a quick moment to tally up Chuck's personality.
Okay, so...
He looks up skirts, he scares people,
he breathes, jokes about looking up skirts,
but he breathes heavily on the phone, he lies to your parents to stalk you, and then he makes jokes about being a baby. She's desperate at this point.
Well, I will say, Chuck sounds like a super awkward teenage boy, and I was once a super awkward teenage girl. So,
okay.
I feel empathy for Chuck's lack of control.
Interesting
and self-awareness.
Twist on this book that you're like pro Chuck on this.
I'm not pro Chuck, but I feel like Chuck got a bad rap. I feel like he was just real, real socially awkward.
Yeah, that's clear.
I relate to poor Chuck. I always say the wrong thing. I could definitely see myself being like, you can babysit me. And
I could see it too. Anyway, and it would probably be in the instance when you shout that, they would be like, you know, a babysitter just killed my child. It would be like an added bonus because it's always like super inappropriate and insensitive. Okay. Okay. Well, that's the book. I really enjoyed this book. This book was so much fun to read.
Mm-hmm.
I had a blast.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end, I didn't care at all. I was reading it loud and proud on that train with all their like weird adults and their crusty ties and suits. And I was like, whatever. I'm reading The Babysitter with a passion right now because I was in it.
Licking your fingers, flipping through those
pages.
Oh, man,
I was like, I could not get enough. I was annoyed I had to go to work because I wanted to finish that book.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what though, R.L. Stine, that's how he writes. It's very quick to read. It's
mm-hmm.
real easy to read. And the chapters are just long enough where you can kind of like pace them between things you need to do. And it's not like, oh
yeah.
crap, I have to like stop right now. I'm going to forget what's happening.
Yeah. I mean, you, dear listener, could read this book in an afternoon easily. You could do all of your chores, paint your nails, go to the hairdresser, read this book, and file your taxes in an afternoon.
Okay, well, that's it. If you liked what you heard...
We're done now.
We're done. We're done with this.
Throw down my book.
Rate, review, subscribe. We're on everything right now. We're on...
No, we're not.
iTunes. Yeah, we're on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Instagram. Like, you can figure it out. You can find us somewhere.
Yeah.
But please, you know, continue
to
give us a support. It's been really, really fun to see that people are having a good time listening to this.
It's super helpful when you rate for us, for our purposes. So we really appreciate those of you that have taken the time to do that.
Yeah, and we're at Laser Graves on all those. And then I'm also on Instagram at EK Wimmer. And
I am at Mariah Rose Wimmer.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.